Hello, everyone. Welcome to QU and QU Media Podcast and the QU Media Podcast Network. My name's Noah Gershman. With me is the Calm 337 class to talk about a few things that have been happening around campus. The first articles of the semester are being published this week, and there was a press release that recently happened discussing some other things around campus, and we're going to talk about all of that today, and we're going to go around the room and introduce ourselves.
As an introduction, I am Gage Evans.
I'm Sam Huff.
I'm Taryn Sargent.
And I'm Colin Smith.
To start off with the press release that was announced yesterday afternoon, President Brian McGee came out to say that Quincy University's true freshman class for 2022, at the number of 307 students large, is the largest freshman class to come through the university's halls since 1992. For a side statistic, the total count of 463 new students in total, accounting for all incoming freshmen, transfer, and graduate students. Total enrollment numbers, which are exactly to the number of 1,250 students, grew by an average total of 8% since last year, one of the higher percentage changes the university has seen in a long time from volume-wise of total enrollment.
So that was some pretty big news yesterday. I know we might have a quote, but Mickey talked about it was a great event for him to put on his traditional brown bow tie. Noah said it best, his bow tie with his cufflinks.
Yeah, at one point he did talk about how it's a special day because he's allowed to wear his special bow tie, his special cufflinks, and his special socks that were all the color brown because it's a great day to be a Hawk, as he always says.
Yeah, I know it's a huge day, but it also, I don't know, did any of you guys ever think about how, like, oh, wow, it's our biggest class in 30 years, and it's like, dude, it's like 1,000 people. Like, it just feels weird sometimes to, like, have it be shined on a light so much because, like, we are a small school.
Yeah, they said they brought in, what was it, 300 freshmen?
305? Yeah, I think that's...
307.
Half the size of my high school class.
He also said that there's 1,250 students at QU, and since I was
exactly a, since I was he a, said on the dot,
yeah,
on the dot, 1,250. I think that's a lie, but
since I was a freshman, I've always been told there's 1,200 kids on campus.
Yeah,
so as far as I know, there might be only 50 more people here.
Yeah, I thought we were honestly going to get closer. I thought we were like closer to like 1,500 at least. That's literally what I started telling people back home. Yeah, try and be like, oh, like. Guys, we're not as small as you think. Nope, dead wrong.
I mean, my point of view on it is if we actually did gain the students, where am I going to park my car? Because as I am seeing an influx of students, because when I go and drive to North Campus and try to park my car, there's usually like one or two spots open, and then there's a whole line of cars behind me that are also looking for a spot. And then you go back to Main Campus, and for like residence parking, the people that live on campus, which is the majority, there's also a shortage of parking there because the bigger lot, C lot, is obviously still open, but the parking lot across from that, Padua Hall, which has historically been also available for student parking, has now switched to only faculty and workers of the CAF can only park there. It says no students allowed signs posted. So I'm a little concerned about some of the adaptations that the school has to make, you know, with the influx.
I am with you on the problems with student parking on Main Campus right now. I do think that it is a bit of a cluster, a lot of a mess, just with everyone trying to find a spot closer to their buildings. Campus could be cleaned up a little bit if different parking lots were assigned to different buildings. I think that'd make things easier for everyone who lived in said buildings. Mm-hmm. But I do remember when Sam Lathrop first gave his speech about why Padua is becoming faculty only. It's because they had a consistent problem with students parking in spots they shouldn't be parking in that lot.
Wait, Padua is faculty only now?
Yeah, the Padua parking lot's faculty only.
For the, like, lunchroom people.
But
oh, you're lying.
We all know about how many students have double parked or made extra parking spots in that middle row, and that's caused conflicts with the cafeteria, food trucks being delivered, like delivering, or that dumpster being able to get out. So their solution was if we're going to continue to have this problem, we'll just pull the plug on the whole thing. And I think that makes a little bit of sense.
Certainly.
That's crazy.
Getting food in and getting trash out is more important than somebody parking their car right next to their building.
For students not having a longer walk.
Absolutely.
I think it makes a lot of sense. That is just crazy, though. I did just park there the other day just to pick up a quick to-go meal. I did not know that, though. Luckily.
Yeah, and even though I am a transfer, I've lived by KU. This is my second year, like, living by the campus. And I live right by one of the parking lots. I can't remember which lot it is off the top of my head. But I will say from last year to this year, there is a huge influx of people parking in it. I would say last year, like, it would be about half full, maybe a little more. But this year, it's completely full, basically.
Yeah, but back to Taryn's point, I mean, I just don't understand. Like, yes, it's great to talk about these great enrollment numbers and we're getting these new majors and we want more, but, like, where is the backing behind that for the infrastructure? Like, it is going to catch up to them at one point, just like the financial situation caught up to them at one point. Like, you got to have people overchecking this.
Yeah, I am. I'm also, I'm sorry, I'm the negative person, obviously, on this podcast, but I'm a little, if I was a man that was incoming, like one of the incoming freshmen, I would feel a little butthurt because they did double up pad this year and the pad of our rooms are bigger than the Heline rooms. And of course, they didn't get a choice on who went to Heline, who went to Padua, and they're paying the same price. So I would feel if, obviously the Garner girls are, all the freshman women are in Garner. And so that's the usual. But if I was in pad, I think it would have been interesting to talk to someone who lives in PAD, but personally, if I was in PAD, I would feel some type of way, especially because the higher floors with upperclassmen are all singles, and then the lower floors with the freshmen are doubles.
Padua itself still isn't at full capacity, but if our university is continuing to bring in these large freshman classes and continuing to grow the way they want to, all these buildings will get to full capacity soon, and we are currently at a building a few blocks away from main campus that has plenty of housing that isn't used at all, and I think that's more of an issue than who's staying where right now.
When do you think North, like, campus living could be accessible, like, timeline-wise? When do you think, like, we could see people living at North Campus?
I mean, if they really wanted to, they could probably get it done where people could live there, like, this next semester coming up. Like,
only part of North Campus housing currently isn't livable because, I mean, 2 years ago, this is where they were quarantining kids. If you got a positive COVID test, they sent you here, but they won't let anyone stay here long-term. But it doesn't really make sense if communication, science, and art majors spend the majority of their days out here. Because I know there's a lot of people in those categories that would prefer to live out there.
It would make life so much easier, especially if you had to do projects or edit, and I just, like, live two floors above.
That was going to be my next question. Do you think people would be more voluntary to live out here? Do you think the university themselves would have to, like, force people to kind of move here and have to live in this building?
I think if the university was just like, who wants to live at North Campus, there would be a lot of kids
you
that
think
fall under
an outstanding number.
Enough of the kids
I think
who
if you
have
the means for it, like to have a car to drive back to main campus, like I'm sure baseball would want to probably be out here too, or even soccer people. Like,
very true.
As you could get someone a good proportion. Who was quarantined on North Campus for multiple weeks because my team had COVID and I did not have COVID, but every single time someone got sent, I had to stay here. Mm-hmm. Yes, I was living in the rooms. Sure, they weren't cleaned, and there was issues with the bathrooms even when they sent us here. They just would have to flush out all the pipes because there was an issue with showers of the drainage system. Like, they hadn't flushed it before sending kids, so, you know, the stuff was coming out of the drains.
Classic QU.
Nice.
I would say, though, the rooms are huge, like, on a whole nother level type of size. So they could honestly make money off of renovating it because people would pay premium, especially for a single of that size. It's bigger than any of the doubles in Friars.
Do you think two people can fit comfortably in those rooms?
There are varying sizes just like Friars is, but and there's also more connecting rooms, at least from what I was able to see on the floor. But yeah, they would be able to fit comfortably. It's way bigger than PAD. Let's just put it like that.
I think you're the only person who stayed in North Campus during that time at this table right now. Can you tell us about what was in the room? What furniture did they offer? What, like Friars has sinks in a lot of those rooms. Did it have any perks like that?
The room that I was in was really, really big, and there was a sink in there. There was also, I think the comparison to make is it was two paddle rooms put together. And it had one bed that was originally in there, and then it had like a wardrobe like we usually have. It has a sink, a mirror, and then it had a big window. It had one of the old AC like units in it. But it was really nice. It had the same, I'm pretty sure it still had the same brown flooring. The only thing is they would really have to go through and clean, because when we were sent, there were like, they obviously go in there and spray because there were a lot of dead bugs everywhere. And there was also, obviously, as I said, the drainage issue, but the bathrooms were really nice, like nicer than Friars by far. Like there were multiple, like if you've ever been to a gym and have seen how like the level of like showers and toilets and stuff like that, it's kind of like Garner as well, where the toilets and the showers are separate. It's really, really nice. They can make so much money. There's so much there, like just the amount of shower stalls, toilets available, sinks in the room, the size of the rooms. They could just make so much money. It's just wasted potential.
So as someone who has previously stayed at North Campus, is currently involved in a major that is located at North Campus, would you be a student who'd prefer to live at North Campus?
I personally, if they went and like did the cleanliness and like flushed the stuff, I would be fine with staying at North Campus. I honestly think if they would actually just clean it, flush the pipes, it would be suitable already to live at, because it wasn't like there was cracked flooring and stuff like that. And I think there would be such a demand that they would have to make it an upperclassman building.
Interesting.
I could see campus trying to keep freshmen on main campus, and so then sophomore year, just like the housing lottery, you can end up wherever you end up.
Yeah, I could definitely see that happening. I mean, I'd give it a whim, too. I mean, if they actually did decide to do it, you know, janitors would be coming in weekly, and so the dead bug situation gets out of the way and everything about that. So I really don't know why they don't try and check that out.
I actually did have a question based off of Taryn's story and how, like, the pipes and everything renovating and whatnot. Does anybody here actually know the last time there were, like, people living in those rooms? Were there ever?
Yes. Students
in which rooms?
North Campus rooms, like the living quarters here.
Before quarantine?
Well, just in school history. Like, do we know when the last people were living there? No?
I know that there are mission trips that go through there, because we were explicitly told, well, we were told to stay in our rooms and we were not supposed to come out to go to the bathroom. But like from what I could tell, like when texting back and forth with teammates and stuff like that, there's like this separate section. There's also a cafeteria, which I think is very interesting.
I did not know that.
That leads like a whole nother option of like, that's a whole nother place to dine. Like, as I said, there's just so much wasted potential. They could make so much money off just living here. And to top it off, you wouldn't have to go to a different campus to eat. They could just make so much money. And when I went there, I was like, wow, I wouldn't have never known that this existed.
Maybe we can get a tour of North Campus and do that as a bit for QUTV. Make things a little interesting for students around campus.
Show them
things they haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
Does anybody else have some information about the press release?
I think we kind
of
covered
most of it. Mm-hmm. Statistical-wise in our opinions and reactions.
I have a soundbite from Matt Bergman. He is the Director of Development and Alumni and Community Relations here at Quincy University. He is also an alumni himself, graduated in 1999. And here's what he had to say about the event.
To be able to announce a class of this size in times that are so uncertain at the same time, I think it's just really exciting to see where QU is going to go in the future. And this is just the beginning. We're really set. You know, we will have just a brighter future. As we've continued to say, this is just the start of what's going to happen at QU. And as we expand with new academic programs and new athletic programs, this is just the beginning.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, right there he talked about expansion and things getting better, but didn't really give us context on what we're expanding on. But hopefully our ideas can pass through to somebody.
Yeah, I guess it'll just have to be seen in the future. Time will tell.
Yeah, hopefully.
So does anyone want to tell us about their first story that's being published this week?
Yeah, I will. So my first story is about the transfer experience at QU. Being a transfer myself, like I've said before, it was just a little cool story to do. I talked to a couple other transfer I talked to a couple other transfer students, and I also talked to somebody in admissions about like the orientation and the steps they take with transfers to get them acclimated with the university and make them feel more comfortable when they get here.
Your story kind of ties into mine because I just talked about the whole new student orientation experience. Mm-hmm. The thick of it was about freshman orientation.
Yeah.
Because I was not involved with transfer orientation, but you were there. So do mm-hmm. you want to tell us about what they did for you? And do you feel like you were able to be acclimated for your first day of classes afterwards?
Yeah, I do. So basically this year, and I was told it's different almost every year, like not crazy different, but every year there's a little bit of difference. So this year, basically I got an email and you got to fill out what you wanted to do. Basically, like there was a section where it was like, do you want a tour of North Campus? And I knew I had classes out here, so I said yes. So I was able to do that. We got on a bus and came out here, and you basically went through everything. The one thing we didn't do that I wish we did was go through Moodle, because not every school uses Moodle. And that was something that we didn't get to do, and that was a little confusing for me to begin with.
As a person that was an OL, the freshmen did get to go through Moodle. They should have extended that that activity towards the transfers, and we're sorry about that.
Yeah, it's okay. I know Moodle now, so it's not that big of a deal, but I'm just glad I was able to really tour the campus and, like, look at my classrooms and everything, because I think that's what was most important to me. I didn't want to, you know, first day of classes get lost or anything like that, so overall it was a good experience for me.
Yeah, happy you had a good time.
Yeah, certainly.
For my story, it was about the housing carnival, which was a couple Fridays ago. It was actually had a really good turnout. Some of the residence life activities tend to not have that good of a turnout, and that was a really good showing of students. A lot of freshmen came out, and there were some big prizes to be won. There was a flat screen TV, there was a Nintendo Switch, and there was also many different like medium level prizes that were able to be won through tickets. So we had quite a few games. There was food offered as well. My favorite part was that I actually won the Nintendo Switch. I was kind of happy about that.
That's awesome.
It was just a really good time overall, and that was coming from everyone when I talked to students. Like, everyone was saying that they were having a good time, and they hope that the residence life puts on events like this more often. There was a little bit of confusion, though, with the housing system, like for some of the people that did attend. But besides that, the overall gist is that students want to be involved. They just need the right activities to go to and be, like, invested in. So I would say that that was a hit.
Yeah, it sounds like a hit, especially when you get a Switch at the end of it.
Yeah, wait, I want to try something. Can you say that you want a Nintendo Switch?
I want a Nintendo Switch. Wow, that failed. But you know what didn't fail?
There you go.
Thank you. Yeah.
Big round of applause.
Yeah, my favorite part about my story, and I'll leave it hidden to readers, was there's a surprise at the end for who won the TV and what happened with that. So go ahead and go out and read my story.
Nice. Yeah, my story for week one was kind of just more informational, but I think it was kind of big. It was about student loan forgiveness, the new bill that the government passed. So basically, up to dependent on if you make less than $150,000 a year or $250,000 for like your family household, if you go by your parents, you can get up to $10,000 off on your student loans, which is huge. And you could get up to $20,000 off if you have taken a federal Pell Grant. So basically then my story is just kind of talking to Dr. McGee, making sure, because I had a bunch of questions, you know, I always thought for some reason that you couldn't pay your loans until like you graduated college, which is like kind of weird to think about. And so I had to like double check and make sure like concurrent students like use this too, and we can. So like, hallelujah. So
learn something new every day.
Yeah, it's definitely
another big round of applause.
Yeah, another big round of applause.
I do have a question for you. Yeah. Maybe you know it, maybe you don't, because there are some details that are still being trying to clear up in, mm-hmm. at a federal level. Is it just undergraduate students, or could it be used for a master's degree?
I believe it can also be used for a master's degree. It just kind of depends. They're also going through. There is a new thing that I found out too, that if you paid any of these loans during quarantine, you can get a refund for that and also get another deposit back out. So that's pretty big. Even though that's a big story, I know we're wrapping up. I kind of want to talk about anybody hearing the story about like the queen right now.
Yeah. Elizabeth?
Yeah. Is the queen dead?
No.
Don't say that.
She not might quite. Be dead. And like,
I did see she got hospitalized this morning via Twitter news. So
yeah. And whatever. But maybe we'll talk about that next week if something happens.
Yeah. Well, that one's going to have to be hopefully put on the back burner happens. For now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Something will happen.
We'll have to see.
Gage, you want to tell us about your story?
Certainly. I'll wrap this up here. Oh, actually, you still have to go after this. So my story for the week, it was about the weight room and its new in it. Being newly renovated, the art room, like clay pottery kiln firing room, was removed and relocated elsewhere on campus. And what was installed was a turf field for agility purposes, pushing sleds, just outdoor activities that basically are indoor. Alongside of that, two offices, the walls were removed, and in place of those were a lot of weighted machines. I cannot remember all of the machines off the top of my head, but a lot of new equipment, new flooring, and the turf room was added in. The only thing that they need to work on now is the AC, as they have had multiple problems with that. And having to deal with the AC and it being hot in there is the amount of people. So a lot of the reactions I got from this story, you can also read about it in the story online, obviously. But students were excited that we got the new equipment. But they're having issues with the scheduling and the amount of people that are in there, as there's only a select amount of hours during the weekdays that the student-athletes have accessibility to the weight room. So a lot of names and a lot of people to get through the door in and out in a certain amount of time. So we'll have to see how that works out.
Yeah. Thank you all for coming on the podcast today and speaking, and thank you for sharing your stories. This has all been really interesting. If any of you listeners at home want to reach out to us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, or you can email us at qumedia@quincy.edu. Thank you for listening to QU, a QU Media podcast, and we'll see you later.